All right, we'll start with the Mishnah on the bottom, Pehe Amud Bet. So the Mishnah says, Nefesh Mishrael, Enu Chayav Ad Sheikh Niseno L'Rishuto. That the person who steals is kidnapping. Kidnapping only applies if you actually bring it into his possession. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ad Sheikh Niseno L'Rishuto, V'yishta Meshbo. It's not even enough to bring him into his possession. He also has to use him or do something to him. Meaning basically, put him to work. Shnema Avihit Amer Bo, right? Umicharo, that he uses him or he sells him. One of those two things that he's required to do in order to be chayav for the kidnapping. So it's not just the kidnapping itself that is the problem, but the after effects of the kidnapping, either that he uses the individual or he sells him. Hagunevet Bino, so a person steals their own child, Rabbi Shmuel Bino Shel Rabbi Yochanan Ben Broka Machayev. Chamim Potrim, so we'll see in the Gemara what the limud is for that. Haganav, or Ganav, Misha Chatzio Eved, Chatzio Ben Chorin. Someone who steals a Chatzi Eved, Chatzi Ben Chorin, Rabbi Yehuda Mechayev, Chamim Potrim, both of which we'll see these limudim in the Gemara. Gemara says, V'tana Kama lo Bayimor? Wait a minute, the Tana Kama who says that Gonev Nevesh Mizoran Ochai Bait Shechnesu Lushoto, sounds like that's it. Once he's kidnapped him, he's chayav. So why he doesn't require this other stage of either selling him or being mit amerbo or using him for some purpose? So mavacha breidrova imur pachu mishav pruta ikomenayu. Depends. How much imur do they need? How much usage do you need? According to Rabbi Yehuda, you require usage that has significance to it, which means that at least the Bishav Pruta worth of Imur, according to the Tanakama, any form of Imur is enough or sufficient to make you Chayav. So by Rabbi Yirmiyahu Ganvo Umicharo Yashan Mahu, what happens if he's sleeping when he steals him and sells him when he's sleeping? Macharisha Lu'ubra Mahu, if he steals or kidnaps a woman who is pregnant, but then doesn't sell her, but sells her Ubarim, he sells that which she's going to give birth to. So yesh derech. What? Right. So yesh derech imor b'kach, or ain't derech imor b'kach. So when it says tibuklei, to like imor klal. What do you mean? Is there? Isn't there? There is no imor here whatsoever. Right? There's nothing going on. Now it's lo yashan, lo tzricha. The yashan de zagale. So now he's sleeping, but then he leans on him. He uses him as a couch while he's sleeping, or something to that effect. Isha de ukma ba'apizika. He uses her as a windbreaker. She puts her up, because she's nice and wide, puts her up so that she breaks the wing in front of him. So he's using them in this way. So derech imur b'kach, or in derech imur b'kach. Is that classified as imur or not to consider imur doing anything that is considered or classified as work, because they are not, as you say, actively.
Right. He's using them for a benefit.
Right. Exactly. He hasn't put them to work, but they are providing him some sort of hana. So exactly what you're suggesting here. The question is, does that type of passivity, right, still classify zimor? The Gemara says, my teku. This Gemara leaves is unresolved. Tarabanan. So the pasuk says in Kitetze, ki amatzei ish gonev nefesh me'echav. Right. So here you have ish gonev nefesh. Right. So now I know from there, ish, who steals or kidnaps a woman. So now, I'm sorry, Shaganav. Isha minayin. How do I know that a woman who is the kidnapper, how do I know that she's also chayav? Tamlamar, it says in Mishpatim, v'gonev ish u'micharo motyuma. So over there it says v'gonev, and the subject is left, right, undefined. So gonev, there could be either an ish or an isha. So ainli ala ish shaganav ben isha u'ben ish. So now I have gonev ish, which is from the, if I have the gonev ish from Mishpatim, and I have kiyim atzei ish, Gonev, nefesh, from kiteitze. So if I say kiteitze ish, that's a man, that took a gonev nefesh, means anybody. So now I have a man who kidnapped either a man or a woman, so that's fine. So now that's what we know. So ainli ala ish shiganav ben isha ben ish. Vi isha, and a woman shiganav ish. Because it says vi gonev ish umicharo motyumat. So there it's gonev, there's in, no subjects, not matter, doesn't matter, so that's a woman. And ish, but it's only when she steals or kidnaps a man. So ish, where's the case of a woman who kidnaps another woman? That the one who does this stealing, here again, the subject is left, right, ambiguous. So, no matter who the kidnapper is, right, then we don't, they are going to be put to death. They're going to be responsible for the kidnapping over here. Now, Tanya Idoch, another brisa. He might say, Ish gonev nefesh me'achav. Chara gonev et ish. Ve'chad gonev et ha'isha, because he used the word nefesh. Ve'chad ger, ve'chad eved meshuchrar. Ger or an Eben Shel Chayav. But Katan, Chayav. All of these are Chayav. Ginavo, Velo Micharo, Micharo, Vadain Yeshno Birshuto, Patur. He stole him and did not, or he kidnapped him and did not sell him. He sold him, but he's still in his possession. Meaning that he's still in the possession of the Nignav himself. Not in the Goneb, but the he kidnapped him. He's holding him somehow hostage, but he's in his own property. He hasn't left his own property. Patur. Micharo Laviv Oleachav. Of the Nignav, the kidnapped. It's in the property of the kidnapped. Now, or he sells him to the father or brother of the Nignav, again of the kidnapped. Not the kidnapper, but the kidnapped. Person who has been kidnapped, he sells them to their brother or their father. And if his relatives, chayav. In that case, he will be chayav, because then he's going to go out of the property. The mechira, it doesn't matter that he sells him to someone who's related. The geneva is the part where he's got to take them outside of the reshut. Why? Someone who steals an eved, kidnaps an eved, is patur. So Tana Tana Kameh the Rav Sheshet. So this braita was said before Rav Sheshet. Amalei ani shoneh. Rabbi Shimon Omer me'achav, ad shiyotzenu mirshut echav. But amart chayav? Wait a minute, you wrote over here that he has to not, that he only has to get him outside of the property of the Nignav. But he doesn't have to sell him to someone besides his family. I mean, if he sells it to his family, that'll be sufficient. So why do you, how could you say that? I have a braisa that says that you require me'achav, ad shiyotzenu mirshut echav. He's got to take him outside of his family's property. Totally. So that includes the relatives. It's not sufficient that he just takes him out of the reshut of his, of the nignav, of the kidnapped person, but also outside the possession of his relatives. So how could you write chayav here? Tanei patur. You have to really write patur. So it says, my kushya. Okay, so you have two braitot. We have this all the time. You have braitot that disagree. And we'll say like this. Ha Rabbi Shimon. Ha Rabbonon. The machlokas over here is between Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbonon. Because he has a braita from Rav Sheshet that says, "Anishonei Rabbi Shimon Omer Me'achav, Ad Shiyotzenu Mirshut Echav." So we say Rabbi Shimon believes that you are patur when you sell to relatives, and this braita argues on Rabbi Shimon and says that you're chayav when you sell to relatives. So why is this such a problem? Why says Lo Sa'akadakli? You can't explain it this way. Why? This is a good principle. Dama Rabbi Yochanan Stam Matnitan Rabbi Meir. Stam Mishnah, as we know, is Rabbi Meir. Stam Tosefta is Rabbi Nechemya. Stam Sifra. Sifra, which is the Torah Kohanim, is the Midrash Halacha on Vayikra, is Rabbi Yehuda. And Stam Sifri, which is the Midrash Halacha on Binbar and Devarim, is Rabbi Shimon. The Kulu Aliba the Rabbi Akiva. They're all Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. They're also tame by Divrei Rabbi Akiva. But you see, Stam Sifri is Rabbi Shimon. And over here we're talking about a Pasuk. Right. Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, and also tame in the Bishem Rabbi Akiva. But also the important thing here is that we're talking about a Pasuk in Kitetze. So the Midrash Halacha, this Braita that they're quoting is from on a on the Pasuk in Dvarim, which means that it's a Stam Braita or a Stam Sifri. If it's a Stam Sifri, it should be Rabbi Shimon. So now you can't differentiate between the statement of Rabbi Sheshet says this is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon and a Stam Sifri, which should also be Rabbi Shimon. So there you have a stira between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Shimon, so you have to amend the Braita to read Patur and not read Chayav in order to reconcile between those two. Right now, next, Agoneh Beno, one who kidnaps his own child, my time of the Rabbanon. What's the reason for that? Avaya Damakra, Ki Matzei. It says, Ki Matzei Ish Goneh Nefesh Me'achav. So Yimatzei is Prat Le Matzui, something that's already found by you. I mean, the child, one's child is already in their presence. You don't have to go out and kidnap them, they're already there in their possession. So that's why it's excluded from the Pasuk. So Gemara says, "I'm like a popular bailele le me'ata ki matzei ish shochev imisha bulad bal." So now, what are you going to say? How are you going to explain this? Ki matzei prat. What are you going to say? Hachanami ki matzei prat the matzui. That it's not prat the matzui. If the woman's found there, then there's no din of ish ish. Kigon. And I give an example of this. Shel beit ploni. This anonymous family. Dishchichan gabayu. They used to live, a lot of people in the same house. I mean, the whole family was together. A lot of the families, married couples, were in the same house, which the Chachamim frowned upon. Rashi says not that they were miyachid, that then so there was yichud in there, but the setup was not a great setup because it's conducive to having problems down the road. So they didn't want to mention their names. Right, exactly. A conducive to Yimatzei. But the major point is that they didn't want to disclose the name here, which is interesting, because they Beit Ploni. Because Rashi says they were Chashuvim. It was an important family. They didn't want to disparage them in any way, but they wanted to mention the point that it was problematic what they were doing. So Achanami Diptire, now you're going to suggest that these are all Nimtza, so now you're Patur from Eshidich. So I'm like, I know min Nimtza biyadok aminu. I'm not learning it from Imatzei, I'm rather learning it out from Venimtza biyado. That's when we're learning it from the, so Rashi claims that that's an extra limud, the pasuk, it's unnecessary in the pasuk to have a Nimtza biyado. So Rashi says, krayitayrahu, it's an extraneous pasuk, and therefore, we learn it from there. Because Tosus deals with other cases we have in Shas, where we do learn, kimatzei, pratamatsui. So how do you differentiate? So he says, you must have to learn like Rashi, which means that over here, it's an extra pasuk, and that's why we learn it. But otherwise, we don't necessarily learn such a miut. So Amar Rava, Hilka, Chani, Mikre, Dardake, Umatnu, Rabbonon, Kimitsun, Biyodo, Dami, Uptire. So therefore, Rebbeim, who are teaching in the Cheder, and in the Yeshiva, where the boys are found by them, or the children are found by them, they don't have a din of kidnapping, because they are matsui. They are found by them. And they will therefore be patur, just like a father to a son is patur, because it's matsui. So do a teacher to a student is also matsui, and they won't be subject to the death penalty for kidnapping. Ganav mi shechetzio eved v'chetzio ben chorin. So we saw that was a machloket in the Mishnah. So we had before the machlokas about a son. So we had the limud of the Rabbanan of kimatzei or v'nimtza biyado. Now we have the machlokas about chetzi even and chetzi ben chorin. It's not hatam. We have a Mishnah that teaches us, Rabbi Yehuda Omer in Baba Kama, ein la vadim boshet, that an Eved Knani doesn't have a din of boshet. My time with Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ka. Ki natsu anashim yachtav, ish v'achiv. Over there it says, v'katzota et kapa. Right, the woman, one of the wives comes in to save her husband, but she does it in such a manner that embarrasses one of the parties. It's over there. The Gemara does, Darshan says, katzotoa kapa means that you don't literally cut off her hand, but rather she pays compensation for the embarrassment that she caused. So now, we have a limud based on this. So, Rabbi Yehuda says, alright, the ein lo avadim boshet. Why? Because the pasuk says, kinachim yachtav ish v'achim mish yesh lo achva. It's a eved, shein lo achva. You have to be a brother. You have to be part of the brotherhood. You're not part of the brotherhood, you don't get busha. So an eved knani, who's not part of the brotherhood, because he's not Jewish, therefore he's not part of the brotherhood. Rabbanon achiv, right, who, b'mitzvot. Right, he may not be his brother in terms of one's Jewish, one's a knani, but he is his brother from the perspective that they share a common necessity to be mekayim the mitzvot. Because an Eved Kanani is chayav in mitzvot like an Isha. We learn that out from La La. So then if that's the case, how does Rabbi Yehuda Dorish, right, how does he over here have the possibility that a Eved Kanani, you're going, or a Chatzi Eved Kanani, Chatzi Eved Ben Chorin, you're going to be chayav for? Over here the pasuk also says, ki yimatzei ish, gonev ish me'echav. It also has echav. If echav is an exclusionary term, how could you include him over here? So now Rabbi Yehuda Savar, how does he deal with it over here? This is what Rabbi Yehuda does. He says, Me'achav la'fuke avadim. So Echav comes to exclude an Eved Kanani, you know, through and through. Full Eved Kanani comes to exclude. B'nei Yisrael, the next line in the Pasuk is, Ki yimatzei ish gonev nefesh me'achav, mi b'nei Yisrael. So now, mi b'nei Yisrael, what does he do with that? So he learns, first of all, b'nei Yisrael, l'me'utei mi shechetzio eved chetzio ben chorin. That excludes someone who's a half an eved kanani, half a ben chorin. Mi b'nei Yisrael, the mi b'nei Yisrael, l'me'utei mi shechetzio eved chetzio ben chorin. That comes to exclude chetzio eved and chetzio ben chorin. Whoa, so now why? Because the second mit is not necessary. Because it says, ki matzei ish gonev nefesh me'achav mi b'nei Yisrael. It already says me'achav. You could have just written me'achav b'nei Yisrael. Why is that me'achav mi b'nei Yisrael? The mem. So the extra mem is also a miut. So now you have, havi miut achar miut ve'im miut achar michot elo rabot. So you have three exclusions. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you have three exclusions in the pasuk. You have me'achav is the first exclusion. B'nei Yisrael is the second exclusion. And mi b'nei Yisrael is the third exclusion. So the first exclusion of Me'achav, he excludes an Eved Kenani from. B'nei Yisrael, he excludes a Chetzi Eved Chetzi Ben Charim. Mi B'nei Yisrael, he also excludes Chetzi Eved Chetzi Ben Charim. That's a Miot Achar Miot, a Miot Achar Miot, Elo L'Rabot. So Yehuda comes up with the conclusion that an Eved Kenani who is full through and through an Eved Kenani, he is excluded from the parsha of kidnapping. On the other hand, someone's chetzu ben chetzu ben chorim is included in the parsha of ben chorim. En ochanami, from the word achav, he would have excluded him. Problem is that you have these additional exclusions, which then come to be merabeh. On the other hand, rabbanon me'achav lafuke avadim, right? Lo mashmalahu. They don't think that achav comes to exclude avadim because of their shita. What's their shita? Da achav hu b'mitzvot. Right, so therefore, he says Echav is B'nai Israel, so they're from mitzvot. They're brothers. There are brothers in mitzvot. If there are brothers in mitzvot, you're left with only two mi'utim now. What are the two mi'utim? B'nai Israel and mi'b'nai Israel. So what do they do with that? They say mi'b'nai Israel, chad mutei eved, v'chad mutei mishchetzu eved, v'chetzu ben chorin. The B'nai Israel, one of them comes to exclude a full-fledged eved, and mi'b'nai Israel comes to exclude a chetzu eved, v'chetzu ben chorin. So therefore, you have the machlokas in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda believes that chetzu eved, chetzu ben chorin, chayav in our Mishnah. Whereas the Chachamim believe that you are patur in the Mishnah because they have a miut for it. Rabbi Yehuda has one too many miutin because that makes it into a riboy and he excludes chetzu eved, chetzu ben chorin. Even though in general, Rabbi Yehuda's position is that Echav would exclude such people. Echav would exclude at least the Eved side of there's such an individual over here. You have these additional miutim that make it into a ribui. Yeah, Azhara la gonev nefesh minayin. How do you know, where's the warning for stealing or kidnapping? I mean, that we have the punishment, we have both times, we have a punishment by Mishpatim, which is gonev ish mecharo motumat, and we also have here in Parshat Kitetze, kimetze ish gonev et ne'achav, also over there he gets the death penalty. Where's the Azhara that one may not kidnap? So now we know there's the famous line, Bishua Amer Melo Tignov, from the Aseret HaDibrot, Lo Tignov and the Aseret HaDibrot, do not kidnap. Yochanan Amar Melo Yimachru Mimkeret Ovet, that you're not allowed to sell, this is the this week's parsha that we had, that you're not allowed to sell someone Mimkeret Ovet, you're not allowed to treat him like an Eved, you can't treat the Eved Ivri, you're not allowed to treat him like an Eved Kanani, you're not allowed to sell him like you would sell an Eved. Velo plige, they're actually not arguing, Marka Choshev Lav de Gneva, Marka Choshev Lav de Mechira. You have two components to the kidnapping. You have the kidnapping itself, and the selling, right, the subsequent selling of the kidnapped individual. So each one of those requires a Lav, an Azhara. So the Azhara for kidnapping comes from the Aseret HaDibrot of Lo Tignov, and the Azhara for selling the one that is kidnapped comes from Lo Timiachru Mimkeret Oved. So now the Gemara does the, how do we know that Lo Tignov and the Aseret HaDibrot is talking about kidnapping? So Tan Rabbanan. Lo Tignov. Begonev nefashot o katuv medubera ata omer begonev nefashot o enu elo begonev mamon. So what? You're going to say Lo Tignov is about kidnapping? Maybe, how do you know that? Maybe it's about kidnapping. Maybe it's about stealing monetary items or money. So how do you know? Amar, say olomad b'shloshes rei midot shatora nitreshet bem. One of the shloshes midot of Rabbi Shmuel is Amar lo made me neo no. Something that it's learned from its context. So what's the context of the Aseret HaDibrot? Me'akhtuv medaber. It comes to the Aseret HaDibrot. What do we know about the context of the Aseret HaDibrot? It's talking about nefashot. It's talking about death penalties, capital punishment. Also over here, we're going to be talking about Lo Tignov. In that context, should be talking about Afkan bin nefashot. Must be talking about a case that would land you in a capital punishment. The only time you have a capital punishment for stealing is kidnapping. Because the other cases are Lo Tertzach, Lo Tinaf. These are all items that are going to get you a death penalty. So Tani Yidoch, we have another Braita. Another Braita says Lo Tignovu. Lo Tignovu is found in Parshat Kiddushim. It says Lo Tignovu. Is that Lo Tignovu? Ata Begonev Mamona Katu Medaber? Is that talking about monetary stealing? Or Ata Omer Begonev Mamona Eino El Begonev Nefashot? So what are you going to do? Which one is it? Is it monetary or kidnapping? So Amar Tzeu Lamed Malum B'Shloshes Rei Midot Shatora Nidreshet. And let's use the Shloshes Rei Midot of Rabbi Shmuel again. Davar Lamed Min Yano. Learn from the context. But Me'akatovu Daver. What's the context of the pasuk in Kedoshim? When you see Lo Tignovu there, there are all the other lavim that are there. Lo Tashok, right? Lo Tichachashu. These are all lavim that deal with, right, lying and stealing, but stealing of monetary items. Afkan B'Mamon. So also over here, the Lo Tignovu is talking about monetary stealing. So you have a Lo Tignov of the Aseret HaDibrot who's dealing with kidnapping, and you have Lo Tignovu, Shana Pachik Kedoshim, which is dealing with stealing monies or monetary items. So now, Idmar, Eide Gneva, Ve'eide Mechira, Ben Nefesh Shehuzmu. So we have a kidnapping here. Now you have two sets of Edim. One set of Edim comes and says that he stole the individual, he kidnapped the individual. One set of Edim comes and testifies that he sold this individual. So now, between the two sets of Edim, you have a case to put him to death, which is now you have Gonev Umocher, because each set of Edim is giving us a piece of it. So now, what happens if they become Edim Zomamim? These sets of Edim, they become Edim Zomamim, what's their din? So now, Chizki Amar, even if they say both, let's say both, they're mezamim both of them, what's the status? So look at this, we're going to break it down. Chizki Amar ein haragim, these Edim never are put to death. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, neharagim, they are neharag. Why? Chizki Amar ke Rabbi Akiva, Chizki holds like Rabbi Akiva, Amar davar velo chatzi davar. You can't testify to a portion of an item. You have to come with a full testimony. Over here, each party by themselves could do nothing. If there were just a Edim that he kidnapped, he would not get the death penalty. If there were just a Edim that he sold the individual, he would not get the death penalty because he can claim that I sold my Eved. These people are my Eved, I sold them. And if you don't have a Edim that they were kidnapped, then you don't have any way to prove that his selling of these individuals is he's selling a kidnapped individual. So because of that, each Edut by itself is not self-standing or not self-sufficient in the sense that none of them can do anything. If that's the case, so now you come out with this. It's a quirky conclusion, which is that since neither set of Edim can be brought to Hazama of a death penalty, that means it's Edut Shiyata Yechol Hazima. That means that this individual, the kidnapper, will not be put to death. In a case where the kidnapper kidnaps and then sells, but the kidnapping is done with the testimony of one set of Edim, and the selling is done by another set of Edim, he will not get the capital punishment in that case because you have Edut Shiyata Yechol Hazima, according to Chizkia. Right. That's exactly what we're saying. It's not. All right, now, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Rabbanan. Rabbi Yochanan holds like the Rabbanan. Damrei davar v'afilu chatzi davar. Davar means even if you give a portion of the testimony. So over here, in this case, they're each doing a portion of the testimony. It's enough to get you hazama. It's also enough to get the have the edut be a full-fledged edut to put the individual to death. So Mode Chizkia. Chizkia agrees in a case, be'edim achronim sheben tzorer umoreh shehuzmu shenaragim. So if you remember, Ben Sorer Umoreh, we need two stages of the Ben Sorer Umoreh. The two stages are, number one, you come and bring him to court to warn him the first time, Yisru Oto. You bring him to a Beis Din of a three and he gets Malkus for the first time that they warned him. Then afterwards you need a separate Edut that comes along and says after that he stole from his parents and ate them in someone else's property. Then he gets the death penalty. So that second set of Edim that come, they are put to death when they get Hazama. Why? Mitoch Shecholim Lamar Rishonim. Because the first set of Edim can claim Lakoto Banu. The first set of Edim can come and claim we have nothing to do with this capital punishment over here. The first set of Edim, we came to get him Malkus because they carried out a punishment already for him. There's a full-fledged punishment for our testimony. Something was already done, which is that he got Malkut. So therefore, when the second set of Edim come and testify that now he deserves the death penalty, yes, the first set of Edim are a prerequisite for the second Edim. But as far as the death penalty is concerned, it's entirely the testimony of the second Edim that do it. Because there was already a punishment meted out to this individual, this Ben Sorer Omer, for the first set of Edim. So based on that, you could, even Chizkiya will agree that it's not classified as a Chatzi Davar, but rather a Kula Davar for the second set of Edim. So now, the Gemara says, Mati Flora Papa, Yochi, Edim Mechira Nami. Right? The Edim Mechira should be the same din. Why? They should also be the Gatlay Mikhtok Shiyocholim Ede Gneva Lomar La Kotobanu. But they're going to come and say, no. That they can, the first Edim can go on and say, we came to give him Malkut. So now the second Edim are doing Kulo Devar. They're the only ones who are coming to testify as far as the capital punishment comes. What are you going to say? Chizkiya holds that they're not Loke. Why? Because the law shenitan lazarat mitad beitin. It's a law that can end up with a death penalty. A law that ends up with a death penalty is not coming to give you a punishment of malkut. It's coming to warn you, don't do this, because otherwise you're going to get to a death penalty. Vaitmar, we have a machlokas. Ede gneva benefesh yehuzmu. So these are ede gneva, edim that came to testify that this individual kidnapped, and then they were found to be edim zomimim. What's their punishment? Chizki v'Rabbi Yochanan, we have a machlokas Chizki and Rabbi Yochanan, chad amar lokin v'chad amar in lokin. One says you get malkut, one says you do not get malkut. We must conclude that Chizkiah is the one who says that you get Malkot here. Why? Because Chizkiah believes when you have a din that only testifies to a portion of the kidnapping, right? One testifies to the kidnapping, one testifies to the selling, each of them is then patur from a chiyuv mita. If they're patur from a chiyuv mita, then they, what can they get? They can get Malkot. Because that's not a lav shnitan lazaret b'mitibin anymore. There is no death penalty that's going to be meted out here. D Rabbi Yochanan came into my naragim, avilei lav shnitan lazaret b'mitibin. If we can end up in a possibility of a capital punishment, then we're not going to give them Malkot in this case. The individual himself, the kidnapper, won't get Malkot. The Edim Zomim are going to get Malkot? That makes no sense. That's not kosher zamam nasod le'achiv. I mean, he won't even be punished with Malkot, and now you're going to give them Malkot? Doesn't make any sense. So if that's the case, we know Chizkiah says that you get Malkot. If Chizkiah says you get Malkot, why don't we make the same argument that you make by Ben Sorer Omerah? If you say by Ben Sorer Omerah, the first Edim are a Davar because they get Malkot because of him, the second Edim are also called Davar because they're the only ones who bring out the capital punishment here. Because the first Edim dealt with the punishment of Malkot. The second Edim bring him to a death penalty. So say the same thing by kidnapping. The first Edim that comes to testify about him kidnapping could bring him to a case of Malkot. And we know Chizkiah holds you get Malkot in this case. So if Chizkiah holds you get Malkot, the first Edim can claim that they came to give him Malkot. The second Edim come along and claim, or the second Edim now are bringing him to capital punishment. They're the ones who give him the death penalty. They're doing a total davar. They should be chayav mita. And how come Chizkiah has a difference between his position by Ben Sorer Umoreh and his position by Gneva Umechira, I mean kidnapping and selling? Because of this question, we have a different possibility. So that's Elam HaRakwafa. Rapa says, no, this is the way they explain the machlokas between Chizkiah and the Rabbi Yochanan. So now, Elo Amar Papa, Rapa suggests a different explanation. Be'ede mechira, dukulo yama lo plige de ne'aragim. Everybody agrees by the people, those that testify, right, that he was sold, that you get a death penalty. So that would agree with the Ben Sorer Umoreh case, that the second set of Edim are a kolu davar, because the first set of Edim, either according to Rabbi Yochanan, who holds like the Rabbanon, it's not considered a chatzi davar, it's a full davar, or according to Chizkiah, who says it is a chatzi davar over here, he agrees it's a kolu davar, because the first set of Edim bring you to Malkot. So since they bring you to Malkot, the second set of Edim are the ones who bring the death penalty. So that's a kolu davar with regards to the death penalty. So keep ligev edei geneva. Their machlokas is about the edei geneva. Chizkiah mar ne'aragim geneva l'chuda kaimo. Chizkiah says that geneva is an independent. The kidnapping itself is independent. Umechira l'chuda kaimo. Each one is an independent problem. One is the kidnapping. The other one is selling the individual who was kidnapped. They stand independently. Since they stand independently, the edei geneva do not get a death penalty. They're not going to get capital punishment. And again, now Chizkiah holds that they get Malkot, meaning by themselves they're going to get Malkot. Now if we have the other Edim come along, which is the Edim Mechira come along, then we know, or the Edim Mechira first of all came first, possibly, which we're going to see in a second, then for sure the Edim Gneva are speaking about a death penalty issue, because they know he's going to be put to death based on their testimony, because we already know he was sold. But there, Rabbi Chizkiah says, no, each one stands independently. These are separate issues, kidnapping and the selling. Yochan Amar, Ne'aragim, the Gneva atchalta de mechirahi. Yochanan says no, that even the witnesses of the kidnapping also are part of the death penalty that's going to be meted out to this kidnapper, because the Gneva is not only just a prerequisite, it's a part of parcel of the mechira. Right? It's a single entity. Yochanan be'edim rishonim shel ben Sorer Umoreh shehu zmo she'ein ne'aragim. Yochanan agrees to the first set of edim by Ben Sorer Umoreh that they do not get the death penalty. Why? Because they come along and they can say, we came to give him Malkut. Now, according to Rabbi Yochanan, the first set of edim, the edim Gneva, the kidnapper, the edim to the kidnapping, do not get Malkut. So they can't make that claim over here. Whereas by Ben Sorer Umoreh, he agrees that by Yisru Oto that they get Malkut, the first set of edim. So the first set of edim give Malkut, then they can say, we came to give him Malkut, we have nothing to do with the capital punishment. So Abaye says like this. Hakol modim b'ben Sorer Umoreh, v'hakol modim b'ben Sorer Umoreh, u'machloket b'ben Sorer Umoreh. Makes three statements. Gemara is going to explain this. Hakol modim, Rabbi Yochanan and Chizkiah agree by Ben Sorer Umoreh, be'edim rishonim, shenei ragim. Everybody agrees that the first set of edim do not get the death penalty if they are huzmu. Why? Because we'd say we came along to give him malkut, which is the Yisruoto. Everybody agrees that the second set of Edim get the death penalty if they're huzmu. The second Edim are doing the entire capital punishment rests on their shoulders. So they say it rests on their shoulders. Therefore, even Chizkiyah is going to agree that it's a kula davar. So therefore, they're going to get the death penalty if they are huzmu. Where's the machloket? Umachloket ben Zoramer. Shnayim omrim b'faneinu ganav. Shnayim omrim b'faneinu achal. In the second part of the testimony, you had the first Edim that brought him to Malkot. They're gone, that's done. Now you have the second Edim who would put him to the death penalty, which is that he stole from his parents and he ate in someone else's property. What happens if you bifurcate that? You split that into two parts. What the, so one set of Edim says he stole from the parents, and one set of Edim say that he ate it in a third party's property. So what's the din? So that would be the case where they have a machlokas. Yeah, so the machlokas is where they have a ganav and the achilah are done by two sets of edim. That machlokas will be the machlokas of Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim, which is Chizkiyah holds like Rabbi Akiva, you need kulu davar and not chatzi davar, and here the gneva and the achilah are each a chatzi davar according to Chizkiyah, whereas Rabbanan and Rabbi Yochanan hold that it's davar vafilu chatzi davar. So the achilah and the gneva, each one of those sets of edim will be chayav. If they are huzmu, they'll be chayav mita, because it's enough of a right, it's enough of a testimony, because they are all a part of the capital punishment that's going to be brought against them. Right now we have a statement by Ravasi. Am Ravasi, Eide Mechira ben Nefesh Shehuzmu. What happens if you have Eide Mechira, the Eide Mechira, the Nefesh Shehuzmu, in Aragim? They don't get a death penalty. Mitoch, Shechol Omar, Abadai, Macharti, I sold my Eved. Mar says, Am Rav Yosef, Kaman Azla, Ha Shmaita, the Ravasi. Who does Ravasi hold like? Ki Rabbi Akiva, Damar, Davar, Velo Chatzi Davar. So, according to Rabbanan, you do get, they would get the death penalty. These Edim Zomim would get a death penalty. So, Mar says, Hamitoch Kamar. So, because it says, Mitoch Shechol Omar Abadai Macharti. Wait a minute. If you say the reason that he doesn't get the death penalty over here is because Mitoch, wait, according to Rabbi Akiva, the reason that you don't get the death penalty here has nothing to do with Mitoch. It has to do with that this is a Chatzi Davar Velo Kol Davar. The exemption here, or the reason that Deim will not be classified as Edim Zomimim, has nothing to do with what he can claim. It has to do with the fact that it's a Chatzi Davar.
It's not even a Chatzi Davar.
Alright, so fine, but the claim makes it not even a Chatzi Davar. Right, but that means that even, what his point is that even the Rabbanan should be able to fit in here. The reason, if Rav Asi gives a reason of Mitoch, like you're suggesting, what you're saying, Sholes, which is that means it's nothing, because it's not even a Chatzi Davar here, that means that you don't, it doesn't just need to be Rabbi Akiva. Because Rabbi Akiva, all he has to say is, you don't get the death penalty, because that's a Chatzi Davar. The fact that he comes on and says it's not even a Chatzi Davar, that comes to imply that it's even the Chachamim, and that's what he's saying. Ella. Right, so Ella, Filu Teimer Rabbanan, it's the Rabbanan. Ubedulo, Atue de Gneva. It's a case here where the Edei Gneva did not come. Since there are no Edei Gneva, his testimony is simply that, what you were asking before, Shol, right, if they come and there are no Edei Gneva, what are they testifying about? So that's what Gemara says here. There are Edei Mechira without any Gneva. So Gemara says, Yochim Ala Memra. So what are we talking about? Right, this was your question, which is, wait, Edei Mechira without Edei Gneva are nothing. I mean, if he can make a claim that he sold his Avadim, then why are we taking their testimony whatsoever? So look, Tzricha Da'afla Da'atu B'Sof. They came afterwards. The Gneva came after the Edei Mechira. But when it says, Akati, my the Memra. What did they do? When they came to testify about the Mechira, he had a claim to get out of it. They did nothing. They didn't know the Edei Gneva were coming. So why should they be classified as a Chatzi Davar, or be classified as getting, causing the capital punishment to him? When they come and testify, they don't think there's going to be a capital punishment from their testimony. Let's read the Kamar Ramzei Ramuzei. That they hinted to them. There are another set of Edim there that are winking at them, saying, yeah, we're going to testify about the Gneva. And therefore, when they testify about the Mechira, it might be that they knew a little bit, or they had a sense that they would come. So, Ma'adatim, I would have thought, Remizim Miltahi, I would have thought the fact that there was hinted to them that there would be other Edim coming. Kamashman Remizim Alav Klumhu. Unless they know for certain that the, our Edei Gneva, Edei Mechira are not valuable, or they're not going to get, if they're found to be Edim Zomim, they're not going to get a death penalty, because when they come to testify, the party had a way out.
If they know for certain that.
Edei Gneva coming, then maybe, yeah, in that case they might be, because then he doesn't have a taina anymore. No, it sounds like from here that it's only Remiza is a problem, but Enoch Anami, if they knew for certain that the Edei Gneva told them we're coming to testify after you, then they know when they testify that they're going to cause him a death penalty. But then it has to be knowledge. you know, enough knowledge that they know when they come to testify, they're going to cause him a death penalty. Why? Because he doesn't have an out. But their claim is that when they come and testify, they can say he could have gotten out of the problem. He could have just said, Abadai Macharti. So the fact that the Baal Din has a way out patters them from the death penalty, because even though he doesn't exercise that option, since that option is available to him, they say, we didn't know we're going to bring him to a death penalty. When they don't know, that's enough to get them out of the death penalty. But if they know, and he can't make, if they know that they have Ede Gneva, and they know that he can't make this claim anymore, then they know they're going to bring him to a capital punishment. There they're going to be Chayav. Right, next Mishnah, we'll just run through the Mishnah, and then tomorrow we'll start with the Gemara. So Mishnah talking about a Zakei Mamre. So Zakei Mamre, a pi Beit Din, has to be done. A Zakei Mamre has to become from the Beit Din. Shenemar, kibalei mimcha davar l'mishpat. Something is too great for you, meaning something you don't understand, or machloket, where you need guidance from a higher authority. So there you go up. You have to go up to the Mikdash. So now the Gemara explains, what does that mean? Shlosha bati din hayusham. By the Beit HaMikdash on Harabayit, there were actually three Batei Dinim. Chad Yoshev Petach Harabayit. One of them was sitting on the doorway to the Harabayit. Chad Yoshev Petach Hazara. Ve'chad Yoshev Lishkat HaGazit. So these are in three different locations. Now, you would have thought, Echad Yoshev Petach Harabayit, which actually says, Petach Harabayit doesn't mean literally the doorway onto Harabayit. It's not the gateways that lead into Harabayit, but rather, it's the gateways from the Harabayit into the Mikdash. That's what Rashi explains over here. Petach Harabayit is who Shara Mizrahi, Shalifni Minachayo, Lifnei Ezrat Nashim. It's the doorway, the Shara Mizrach that goes into the Mikdash. It's in front of the Chayuv, right, before the Ezrat Nashim. It's the doorway that leads into the Ezrat Nashim, beyond the Chayuv. The Chayuv is an outer, a little wall or lower wall that was around the entire walls of the Mikdash. So that, after you've entered that little area, then the doorway to the Ezrat Nashim is what we're just speaking of here. So this first Batei Din, Beit Din is sitting right there on the Shar Mizrach of the Mikdash. The next one is sitting on the Shar HaRazara, which means Ezrat Yisrael. They're beyond the Ezrat Nashim. In the doorway, the next Shar, which enters into the Ezrat Yisrael. The last Batei Din, or the Beit Din HaKadosh, sits in Lishkat HaKazit, which is a area in the Mikdash itself. Half of it is Kodesh, and half of it is Chol. The Beit Din itself sits in the Chol part, because they're allowed to sit. And the Kodesh part is for where the Balei Dinim stand, or the individual come before them stand, because that's in the Kodesh. So they're Chatzi Chol and Chatzi Kodesh, and that's in Lishkat HaGazit. So these are the three Batei Dinim that are found on Har HaBayit. Bain the Zesh al Petach Harabayit. First they come to the Beit Din that's on Harabayit. Now these are graduated Batei Dinim, meaning the highest authority is the one in Lishkat HaGazit, and each one is a subsequently lower form, which is the Ezwan on the doorway to Ezrat Yisrael is lower than the one in Lishkat HaGazit, and the one in the doorway to Ezrat Nashim is lower than the one that is on the Ezrat Yisrael. So first they come to the lowest Beit Din there to ask the Shiloh. They had a machlokus between a Zakin Mamre and a Beit Din in his city. And now they wanted to come to the higher authority to find out, to adjudicate between the two parties. So they first come to the one on Petach Harabayit. V'omer kachta rashti, v'kachta shu chavirai. The Zakin Mamre says, I learned this way, and this is the way the Beit Din learned. Kachli marati, v'kachlim du. This is the way I teach, and this is the way that they teach. Chavirai, im shamu, if they know the answer, amar lahem, then they explain it. If they know the din here, they adjudicate between them and they give a decision. Then they all move up, they graduate up to the next Beit Din, which is sitting on the Petach Hazara. He makes the same statements in front of them. This is what I learned. This is what my friends learned. This is what I taught. This is what my friends taught, the Beit Din in my city taught. If they know the answer, if they know how to adjudicate the case, they say, then everybody goes up to the Beit Din HaGadol to get the answer about what the halacha is here. Shablishkat HaGazit, Shemenu Yotzei Torah L'Chol Yisrael, because that's the highest authority in terms of halachic psak or issues of halacha. They come from this Lishkat HaGazit. Shenemar min ha-makom ahu asher yivchar Hashem. From the place that Hashem chooses, that's where Torah L'Yisrael will come out. So the only one who's found in the makom itself is the Beis Din that is found in Lishkat HaGazit. So they're the final authority when it comes to these matters. Chazar the Yiro, Shana Vilimeid, B'derek Shaya Lomeid. Right, so if he went ahead and he goes back to his city and learns again and teaches again in the way that he was doing it before, then he is Patur. Because the problem by Zakeh Mamre is not that he teaches his shita, but rather that he causes others. He gives psak halacha that people should do according to him. Vim horeh lasot. He gives a psak halacha for someone to act based on his psak, then he is chayav. Shenemar ve'isha sheyaseh bezadon. That has to be yaseh, that he does. Enu chayav et yireh lasot. Until he gives a psak halacha that causes others to act based on his psak, or that he indicates others to act on his psak, then he becomes a zaken mamre. He has to be defiant in the sense that that even though the Beit Din HaGadol gave him a psak that was against him and with the Beit Din HaSidi, if he continues to learn that way, that's fine, but if, it's not necessarily fine, but it's not going to deserve a death penalty. The problem is when he goes ahead and he gives a psak halacha based on that, and he stands in his opinion, then we have a problem because he's undermining the authority of the Beit Din HaGadol. In that case, he gets the death penalty. Talmid shorei lasot patur nimsach chumro kulo. A Talmid that gives a ra'ah. Rashi claims he's under the age of 40. But someone, a Talmid who's not qualified to give psak halacha, not give hora'ah. He's too young. Doesn't have smicha yet to give hora'ah. So in this case, he actually turns out that his kula is chumro kulo. The fact that he's not allowed to give psak turns out to be a kula for him because he can't be a zaken mamre. The only person who can be a zaken mamre is someone who can paskin against the central authority. He doesn't have authority. This Talmid doesn't have authority to give psak. So since he can't give psak, he can't be a zaken mamre. Because he can never give psak halacha against the Beit Din HaGadol, because he doesn't have the right to give psak. If he doesn't have the right to give psak, then his psak is not considered a psak halacha. If it's not considered a psak halacha, he can't be a zaken mamre. Okay, we'll continue tomorrow with this, with the gemarot on the cases of zaken mamre.